12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Everybody, and welcome to Otherworld Hollywood. This is our Call of Cthulhu actual play, episode number 28. My name is Wes Otis, and I'm here with some wonderful players. Let us start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I will be playing Ebony Evie Belafonte, she, her.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I am here playing Belle Bellington.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and I am playing Lenore Von Mori, who is also known as Cass Richardson.
Hello, hello. I am Sam Star. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. And today I am playing Imani DeVoe, she, her.
Hello, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns. And I am playing Roberta Robbie Cerillos, they, she. And I also wonder if Belle would be, this is the thought I had during your intro, and I was like, would Belle be offended if Robbie called her Belle Belly Button?
I love how that was the thought that came across your mind, Lev.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Belle, but I wouldn't be offended. I in fact, would love it.
I think coming from Robbie, Belle would be okay with it. Coming from anyone else, literally anyone else.
I'm calling you Belly Button this whole time.
I feel like that's more like if you were dating.
Hey, Belly Button.
That's actually really fucking cute.
It just sounds like a cutesy name.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right, so in our last episode, we had a lot going on. Belle decided to hold on to the pictures of Imani, of her doing BDSM photograph shoots, basically putting the possibility of blackmail or just ruining her career in her pocket for right now. And they also dispatched Rose with some silver bullets, which oddly Cass felt. She got depressed for a little bit, like a connection had been severed. Meanwhile, while talking to Uncle Jake, Robbie realized that they weren't a part of every shooting day and got really afraid that their script had been changed to make people who didn't want to hear about what was going on in Puerto Rico happen. And so they talked with Jacques, and Jacques was like, of course not. I'm lying to the studio. What I really liked about that interaction was the difference between communication between the two parties, because it was very difficult for Robbie to kind of figure out what Jacques was saying. It was fun.
Vibrating in silence.
Meanwhile, Imani went out for a cigarette break and she saw the Lincoln across the way that had been following them. Now, originally, I believe you all thought that it was somebody following Imani, maybe the FBI, maybe police, maybe somebody like that, if I remember the conversation correctly. And so she went over and tapped on the window and found out that it was Elizabeth Bathory and tried to run away, missed her role, didn't get away, got pulled into the car and got kidnapped. Evie went out a few moments later after her scene was done and realized, after talking to some of the crew, that Imani was missing and was approached by one of the New Day Rejuvenation people and said, hey, if you ever want to see Imani alive again, you have to come to this address. She jumped in a taxi cab, left her heel for somebody to find. But luckily enough, Belle arrived just as Evie was leaving, so she was able to put it together relatively quickly and tell the others, hey, Evie might be in trouble. And you all left to go to the last known location of the cab that Evie was in. Meanwhile, Evie showed up She went into the study of Priestess Elizabeth and found Patty Wells standing there waiting for her to come in. That's where we're going to pick it up. Patty Wells is standing there about a foot behind Elizabeth, and she has on this white flowing robe that you've seen around with gold trim, and she just is looking at you, Evie, intensely.
What are you doing here, you old bat? I thought you were dead.
Elizabeth goes, "That's rude."
Is it rude? Because I wouldn't even know you or be in this mess if it weren't for her.
Well, first of all, where's the heart?
The what?
The heart that you found.
Who says I found a heart?
Look, here's the situation that's going to go on right now. We have Imani. We want Sekhmet back. The only way to do that is to lure Hathor here. And I think you're the person to do the luring.
She won't be tricked by me. That's not the kind of relationship I have with Hathor.
You get her to come here. Well, not here, but where I want her to be. Proper blessings and all that. And we separate the two of them. And we put her spirit into Imani's body. Imani's young. It's a perfect vessel. Or we can put her in yours. It's your choice.
It doesn't sound like you're offering me a fair deal.
Why should I offer you a fair deal after what you've done?
Why should I offer you a fair deal after you failed to inform me of everything that you needed me to know? This wouldn't have happened if you had done your due diligence and given me the information I needed. You don't know. I might have brought someone to you willingly.
You are banking on the fact that I don't have one of your friends with me right now, and the fact that I could get rid of all three of them. What about that Robbie Ryder person? Or Cass? We've been following all of them. You can keep Belle.
If you've been following all of us, you wouldn't be making such idle threats. They're more powerful than you know. As is Imani, I dare say. Show her to me. Where is she?
Not here.
Then how am I supposed to believe that you do?
Well, we're going to go to a second location, of course. We're going to go see her, but she's not here.
Take me to her, and then I'll decide. After all, Imani's been through quite the rough and tumble, and I think she should have a say in what happens to her.
Yes, after all the killing and everything else she's been witness to, I don't really feel bad for Imani.
I do feel bad for her. And this could be exactly what she needs to feel a little bit more useful in this world, if you come through on your end of the deal.
Interesting. So you're open to it, then?
I'm open to speaking to my friend and finding out what she wants.
Let us go, then. You guys start walking out of the mansion, and Patty's walking probably 10 feet behind all of you. You can tell she's just kind of watching how you're moving, watching you. You can feel her eyes on you as you get into the car. She gets in the front of the car next to the driver. During this whole thing, the three of you show up three or four doors down, and you see Evie getting into the car, and you see Patty Wells getting into the car too. What do the three of you want to do?
Oh, that's a good question.
Should we follow them?
I think we should.
We don't know where Imani is, but we know where Evie is.
Let's follow Evie. Make sure she doesn't need assistance, which I'm sure she does. You okay with that, Cass?
I don't see another option.
Penelope nods her head in agreement.
So we follow.
So all of you jump back in the car and you start to follow. Michelle, can Belle give me a drive roll?
29 under my 50.
So yeah, they don't spot you as you're following them. And they drive for a while. They get like way out in... Go ahead.
I need to just express, I made a drive roll.
Yeah, that's a...
That's a rarity for me.
For a 12-side story, to have a drive roll that wasn't failed is amazing. It's amazing.
That too, yeah.
All right, go ahead, sorry.
You're driving and you're following, and they go for a while. They drive out to Signal Hill, and at this point in the 50s, it's not built up. It's mainly just a lot of oil rigs out there constantly pumping. Jumping over to Evie's car, they drive you to what looks to be a warehouse, but the warehouse has all this painting on the outside. It looks like all these different symbols. Now I'm going to jump over to Sam real quick. Imani, you know that you have been bitten. You know that you are in some kind of strange dreamlike state. You can see the real world around you, but you can also see the dream world overlapped on top of it. And standing a few feet away is the creature from the mirror. And he comes up to your feet because you're obviously about 4 feet off the ground. And you can feel one of his tentacles wrap around your foot. And he goes, "How are you doing?"
"I would be doing much better if you would unhand me."
"Don't you mean untentacle you?"
"I was trying to not point to the obvious, but yes."
"Okay. So I'm in a bit of a predicament."
"As am I. How am I supposed to help?"
"Well, my master enjoys your dreams. And vampires don't have dreams. But I don't know, this is an interesting thing to watch unravel as well. So losing one of you might be worth the story, but I don't know."
"I'm not 100% sure what it is that you are referring to, but I think I have caused enough harm. Maybe this is what I deserve. Actually, it is."
"Self-sacrifice, that's such an amazing trait of humans. Well then, carry on." And he walks away and dissolves. So, we will jump back over to Evie. Evie, you're in the car. And every once in a while, Patty looks back. And Elizabeth goes, "So what's more important to you, your friends or your own life?"
"It's funny you're asking me that, considering how many times my friends have saved my skin, saved my sanity, saved my sweet buttercup. I have to say, that line is blurrier than it's ever been in my life."
"Well, you'll need to make a choice soon. I noticed the mark of Hathor on you. She's connected to you."
"You did. She is. And there's genuine love there. Genuine. I don't think I've ever known something like this before. The love of friends. The love of someone who I never valued before in my life. Even saw as an enemy. And is now one of my closest confidants. Someone who is a goddess and sees in me something worth saving. It makes you think a little differently about yourself."
"It also makes it easier for us to use you as a pawn."
"It does. But like you've asked, you're not quite sure where I stand anymore, are you? Whether or not I'm more important, my career is more important than the people I love."
"We have enough connections. If we really wanted to destroy your career, we would have. Our main goal is getting Sekhmet back. She is our patron goddess."
"Which would require me to put my career and myself above everything. And you don't have a guarantee that's who I am."
"No, I do not."
Evie stares at her with hard eyes, eyebrows raised, arms crossed, legs crossed in front of her in the back of the car, just tight-lipped.
Okay. In the other car, Belle, you're driving. You notice that less and less cars are coming. And you realize that you have your gun, you have your bug in your forehead, but you don't have anything else. You don't have the Spear of Ra with you. How are you guys going to handle this when you get there?
I think I would voice something like that out loud. Okay, guys, what's our strategy once we get there?
I mean, getting them out, ideally.
I think she's asking the how, though.
Yeah, we don't know what to expect in there.
We don't. I mean, I've got a gun. Do you guys have anything with you?
Well, I mean, Cass and I are werewolves, so...
But I can't control it.
I know, but practice makes perfect.
I thought you told me that I couldn't, and practice wasn't going to necessarily be a thing here.
I'm trying to be very positive in a situation where it's hard to be positive.
Which it's necessary to be pragmatic in right now.
Yeah. The fact is I can turn and control it. Unfortunately, Cass can't. If Cass turns again, it's like shooting a weapon blindly. We don't know where the bullet's going to go.
Bossa told me that we would have help. I don't know what kind of help. She wasn't very clear.
Was that help with the vampires or help with the creature in the mirror, though?
Well, we can't deal with the mirror if we don't deal with the vampires, so maybe both?
True.
They've got a point.
They do.
But also, I don't know what the help entails. I don't know what that means. So I don't know what I would do.
Can we sneak around the property maybe and at least try and get some more info?
That's a good idea. Because, I mean, you know, Penelope can control her wolf form and everything like that. So if need be, sorry, Penelope, I know you don't like the thought of killing, but if we're dealing with vampires, which I can't believe I'm saying that out loud, they're already dead, right?
That brings up another thing, though. What if she's changed? Like, what if she's a vampire? I mean, that's really different from a werewolf, obviously. There's different repercussions, obviously. Where do we stand on vampires? What the fuck do we do with that?
Well, these ones obviously are awful. So I say that we have to do what we have to do. They obviously have made their intentions known to be pretty shitty.
Yeah, let's try to sneak up and get some information, and then we can go from there. So you all arrive. You see the Lincoln Town car go into this large painted warehouse with all these symbols on it. And you park, let's say, 20 yards away. I'm also going to say you all changed really quickly before you headed out into clothes that were not on set clothes, obviously. Except for Evie, of course, because Evie just dresses that way. She's always in a frock. You're going to try to sneak up and see what's happening. Let's make that roll first. Everybody give me a stealth roll. I mean, the three of you. And I'll do Penelope.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. I went under. 25 under my 45.
Cool. Robbie?
13 under my 20.
Nice.
Put a check mark.
17 under my 20.
Nice.
Ooh, check mark.
Let's go, girls.
So the four of you sneak up and you're looking through a window and you see Evie walking into this large, pretty empty room. There is a large circular stage in the middle. It's got a pole, like a witch's pole, something you would burn a witch at in the 1600s. You see Imani tied to it, and Imani's got a bunch of tubes hooked up to her arms and to her legs, and it looks like they're slowly draining blood from her, and it's going into this large glass beaker behind her, and there's marks everywhere. All of it, there looks like there's a ton of magic symbols all over the place. And Evie, you walk in and you look up and all of the color from her lips is gone and she looks really bad.
What is the meaning of this? Look at her. How could you do this? You're asking me to trade you and to make some kind of deal and you can't even have the decency to treat her right?
You said life. She has life. She's still alive. And I haven't changed her yet. I mean, she's on the verge. She's easy enough to push over to the other side. I didn't take that much blood. But you need to make a decision. Either we call Hathor here and we separate the two and you take on Sekhmet and become Sekhmet, or Imani does.
It's not her or me. Obviously, it would be me if I agree to this. Can I touch Imani? Is she like within reaching?
I mean, you'd have to get up on the stage and touch her if you wanted, but they're not going to stop you.
Yeah, I go to Imani, and I just kind of gently stroke her face to try and wake her.
Imani, you feel that, and you're more in reality now. And you look down at your body, and you see that you're being slowly drained.
Imani, this is horrible. I'm so sorry. I feel like this is partly my fault that they would take you.
What? Where am I? Huh? I think Imani's conscious just for a second, and is so dazed and confused, and then just passes out again.
This is an abomination, what you are doing here. I cannot believe this. Show me to a quiet room. I need a moment to think.
Actors. Shows you over to the office room of the warehouse. Meanwhile, outside, you all see Evie walk into the office, and Patty Wells is on the outside staring at the door. So it's Elizabeth, it's Patty Wells, it's Evie, and it's their driver. Those are the people that you see there.
If we go around the side, is there a window into the office?
Yes.
I think Robbie's just going to really lightly like tap, 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 tap.
Yeah, that was my thought too.
Yeah, I open the window and let them in. I'm in here by myself otherwise, right? Okay. The second that they come in, I just like in a rush of breath, download them on what's been going on. So that's where we are. And it's been wonderful getting to know all of you. But I need to speak with Hathor. I need to decide what to do. I don't know that we're strong enough to fend off a full-fledged vampire and whatever else she's got going on in here. But she kind of sits back down in a seat. Imani sort of gives like a look, like a don't leave me, and closes her eyes
and tries to commune with Hathor, like just gently clutching the hand that has the symbol to her chest, to her heart.
All right. You reach out to Hathor and you hear like a garbled response and just says, "Where are you? I can sense you, but there's magic where you're at."
"That evil creature, Elizabeth, she sequestered my friend Imani and is draining her of her life's essence as we speak. She says she will not stop and will not relent unless I summon you here and you give up Sekhmet to be put into my body forever. I'm not asking you to make that sacrifice. That's far too much to ask for. But I just wanted to know, could you help my friend? Even if it means that my journey here is done, it would be better than losing her and not giving her a second chance to be a better person."
"If I go there, I think I'll be trapped because of the magic that is at the building. If I go there, then I have to give up Sekhmet."
"I believe that's true. However, if Ra comes here and unleashes his mighty presence, even if I'm a casualty, it's better than what's here now."
"If you're dealing with vampires, the Sun God would be a good thing to do."
"That's all I'm saying, and I don't want you to think that I'm trying to return the gift that you've given, your love. It's one of the most perfect ones."
"Darling, I can't guarantee that you'll survive it, though. That any of you would survive it."
"I don't want to put my friends' lives on the line. They've been through quite enough. I'm not so worried about me. I've lived a lot of life."
"Well, I'm worried about you. We just got married."
"I understand, darling, but you have other wives. You have a husband."
"They're not you, though. Each person is a unique individual that brings something to the table. It's not just, you can't exchange one wife for another wife. It doesn't work that way."
"But I don't see any other option."
"I will send Ra, and we will deal with the situation. You're going to have to tell your friends to get out of there."
"I will. I'll tell them right away."
"I love you."
"I love you. And if Anubis has his way, perhaps he can usher me into your arms once more once it's done."
"We can hope. If not, I'll visit you in the field of reeds, my love."
And Ebony opens her eyes.
"All right, you're back in the room. You hear a knock on the door. Come on, make up your mind. Hurry up."
All right, one moment, please." And I turn back and I whisper to everyone, "Well, I've spoken with her. Something's about to happen. I need you all to be ready when they release Imani. She's not in a good way, and you'll need to carry her out. Belle, I never thought I'd say this, but you're a tough bitch in the best way. And I've grown to be quite fond of you, despite our history. You can be better than you are, Belle. I know that you have a lot of ire inside you, but you can stand up to that and stand up to who you used to be a brand new person. Cass, this new person that you are is exceptional. I know you have yet to embrace it. Don't think of this as a curse. Any curse can be a gift if you're brave enough. Penelope, well, I don't really know you, but take care of Easter and Cass. And Robbie."
She gets like really choked up and like grabs you and holds you and like presses you into like her bosom.
"Dear Robbie, you are just the sweetest little thing. Never change, no matter what this world may try to do to you. No matter how gray it gets. Be there for everyone, please."
"You sound like you're saying something else when you're saying this."
"I don't know what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that are about to happen. I can't swear it, but all I know is that you need to get the money and get out."
"How are you going to get out?"
"I'll figure it out. They need me to believe that things are going to go the way they plan. And if I'm not here, they'll just keep searching for you all."
"Then we'll fight them off together. We'll figure it out together."
"You're simply not strong enough, my dear. Now please, listen to me. I have lived a lot of life. You even said that yourself at our first meeting. I'm seasoned, remember?"
"Well, that's a good thing. We need you. We need you."
"You do, right now. And Imani needs all of you. Get her, get out."
And I think she just opens the door, like just wide enough to slip her body through so that nobody sees that everybody's in there behind her.
"Bring me back to Elizabeth."
"All right, so you slip through. Before I jump back over to the main room, Penelope goes, "That's bullshit. We're not actually going to, like, just leave and wait for whatever. We're doing something, right? I mean, come on."
Of course we are.
"We have to do. We can't just, like..."
I have a weird idea.
"I think we're well in the weird territory."
"Well, I happen to have a fan of mine that tends to show up when death is about, and Imani is close to death right now. I wonder if death might help us? If we could reach him?"
We could give it a try, but I don't think we have much time.
And I think Cass is going to take a deep breath, close her eyes, and concentrate harder than she ever has in her life on just reaching death, just trying to, like, get him to manifest. You know, if there's any truth to psychic connections or any of the other stuff going on, that's what she's trying to project.
I'm going to say that you're able to do it because Imani is close to death and death is nearby, but it will cost you some resolve points. It'll just straight up cost you resolve points if you do it.
That's cool. I don't have many left anyway.
All right.
I'm close to cracking as it is.
You take 4 points of resolve to be able to reach out to death.
All righty. All right.
Any resolve loss for her at this point is like, ooh.
Yeah, I'm currently at 16.
Oh, 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're real close to being retired.
Oh, Mac.
Yeah. But it's necessary. And as much as I loved the beautiful speech and goodbyes from Ebony, she can go fuck herself if she thinks we're just going to walk away.
It's funny. All right. You reach out to death. And death appears. And right next to death is Anubis, the jackal head. Anubis says to you, "Oh my God, I've been waiting so long to meet you. Oh, every time I see you, I think, God, there's a heart I'd like to weigh." And death goes, "What are you? Shut, what? Oh, sorry, sorry. I didn't mean to come out there. I'm sorry. I didn't." It's just, she's great. And it's, you know, it's you meet people you watch on TV and you know, she's attractive. Shut up. Just shut up. Anyway.
Look, I'd love to give you an autograph and invite you to my home for a drink and all of that lovely stuff. And we can absolutely do that. But right now we really need some help and we're hoping that you're able to do something for us.
Oh, well, we were nearby. We know what's going on because we sense the death in the air, unfortunately. So Ra, from what we understand, is already on his way. He's going to hit the building here in a few moments.
Hit the building. Could you be more specific about what that entails?
Causing an immense amount of heat and sunlight to go throughout the building. So we have to evacuate you all. And this is all against what the Christian God will allow. They're going to punish Ra for doing this. So, okay, here's what we're going to do. We can't interfere with anything that when it comes to death, it just will mess up the balance. But nothing's to say that we can't give you a distraction and you can grab your friends and get out of the building before Ra lands. Okay?
We'll take any help you can give us.
All right. And Anubis goes, "You need to get out of here. It's like a missile's coming."
Let's go.
Let's go.
So in the other room, Imani, you're kind of looking around. You've woken up a little bit and you see movement, but it's really hard. And suddenly you see Evie come out and Elizabeth goes, "Have you made up your mind? Have you chosen which one of you will be the vessel for Sekhmet?"
"It'll be me. Release her now."
Excellent.
"Evie, I can't let you do that."
"There's nothing you can do right now except let me do that. You're in a terrible state."
"Exactly."
"There's no argument here."
They start to unhook you from the pole.
"You don't get to choose for me."
"I don't get to choose for you, but it's either this or you get turned into a horrible monster. And I feel you've had quite enough temptation of that already, having that person around you and in your heart. Go. Be better."
"You don't think I'm already one?"
"No. I think you're someone that has had things dangled in front of you and had a hard time saying no, had a hard time choosing the right thing."
"So let me choose it now."
"The right thing isn't sacrificing yourself. The right thing is learning from your mistakes and redeeming yourself. I have lived a lot of life. I have had love. I have had joy. I have had fame. I have had literally everything. And I didn't come all that way to sacrifice a young person for whatever it is that I've seemed to have done to these people. If I wasn't so hungry to stay relevant, you wouldn't even be in this situation. So, no matter how you slice it, it really was my choice."
"Thank you."
You feel yourself drop to the ground and you're relatively weak, but you still can kind of get up. And right as you're standing up, Elizabeth grabs hold of Evie. And then the door from the office burst open and out comes Belle, Robbie, Cass, and Penelope. First of all, Mac, you smell the blood. Second of all, the stress of the situation. You do need to make a power roll.
Shit. Okay.
I think Wes is picking on you, Mac. I think I'm seeing bullying live in motion.
Yeah. And he's really going to pick on me because I just rolled 100.
Oh,
Mac, no.
Mac. Oh, no. Slow-mo werewolf mauling scene. Preferably to that Four Seasons aria playing in the background.
Wow. Okay. All right. So Penelope looks at you with just this surprise look, because she can tell, and you almost instantly change. And she turns to the rest of you and says, get out of here. And she starts to change and starts to grab on to Cass. And Anubis is holding the vampires in place. So Evie, you can get out of her grasp. What does Robbie and Belle do?
Robbie, help me get Imani. Let's go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just run over.
And we start getting out.
Just like pull her over our shoulders, I guess. And
yeah. And I'm like, Evie, follow us now.
I think Robbie's like other hand is like grabby handing back at Evie. Like, come on.
Okay. All right. Fine. Ugh, cannot listen to directions.
No, well, not when the directions mean we lose you.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's no time to argue.
All right. The four of you run out of the building, and Penelope and Cass are in the office fighting with each other as she's trying to break away. You guys get several hundred feet away from the building. The sky is completely pitch black, and then suddenly it lights up, and you see this one streak of fiery sun coming down in the form of a hawk's head. And when it hits the building, there is a burst of light that comes out of all of the cracks in it, and an explosion. And you have to turn away because the brightness is so much. As you turn back, the building is gone. It's just pieces of stuff everywhere. Cass, you and Penelope wake up in a large Egyptian building. There is a scale on a table, and Anubis is standing there. And he says, I'm really sorry. I never thought that we would be meeting like this so soon. But I don't need to weigh your heart. You two can stay together. And he opens the door into the afterlife for you. That's where we're going to end this episode.
You know, y'all, we can unionize against the DM to get like an extra 10 to 15 minutes. Like, that is always something that can be done. We can always rise up against the GM.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seize the means of gameplay.
Of gameplay. All right. So let's go ahead and do the outros. Let's find out where all these wonderful people are. Let's start with Sam.
Huh. Yeah, that was... that was me, Sam Star. Damn, that was fucking great. Yeah, catch me on the internet at Lust for Life X, LustForLifeX. You can see all the cool shit that I do there. That's where I tell people about it. Watch Transplanter.
I'm Candace. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace the Magnificent everywhere else. You can see me every other Saturday on Matihi's channel doing What We Do in the Shallows, an original 5e horror pirate campaign, as well as over on 12 Sided Stories' own Beyond the Outer podcast, a mothership campaign available exclusively to Patreon subscribers.
I am Lev. I'm sad. You can find me on Twitter at LegoM2, the number 2RS, or on Instagram and Blue Sky at lev.rs23, and on Mayday Roleplay, where we play games that are also very sad.
Hey, y'all, I have been and may not continue to be my character. But I will continue to be Mac Beauvais, and you can find me everywhere online as at Strange Like That.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. And you can find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mill Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I'm Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mill Games on all the socials. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12, then Sided Stories on all the socials. And join us over on Discord to talk more about the games and what's going on with gaming in your life, all that good stuff. Or if you want to support us, go over to Patreon at 12 Sided Stories and join us there. We have a lot of stuff we do. Candace mentioned, our Mothership game is over there. We do interviews sometimes with cast, and we do a lot of stuff. So come by and you know, if you like this kind of content, support it. Finally, thank you to the cast. This was a emotional episode, obviously, towards the end. So I appreciate that. I know it takes a lot of trust and all that to do these kind of games, and I appreciate that trust. We will see you next time for more Otherworld Hollywood. Bye, everybody.
Bye.